Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Glamour. Hey, it's okay. And it's going to be so okay today. You're going to have the best commute ever because we literally have the best person alive on the podcast today. Stay tuned. Aww. Hi, Pod Cupboard Cats. Is that what you call them that?
Why not?
Pod Cats, Pod Kids. I'm Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine. To my right today, we have Glamour's deputy editor, James Williams.
Hello, hello.
Pod Cupboard Stud, Pod Cupboard Favourite. I'm not bitter about that at all.
Major spunk rat.
And we've also got author, raconteur, performer, all-round, good time gal, Kathy Lett is in the house.
Woo! The mouth from the south. Hello.
Yeah. G'day. So very south.
So very south. Jo and I have an Antipodean bond, you understand.
I'm really outnumbered here today.
Ozzy's in the house.
Yeah, that's right. Why, you know, yeah. I bow down.
And the reason Aussie women are such good friends is because the men are so Neanderthal. They actually just prove the theory of evolution. They're evolving into apes. So, in fact, two women who slept with the same man are called stick sisters. There's a sense of camaraderie rather than rivalry. It's like, you slept with him too. Wasn't he terrible?
I'd just like to point out that Kathy and I have not slept.
I was going to say, where's she going with this?
We are not sisters of the stick.
The day is
I've
yet
never
young.
I've never heard that before.
Stick sisters. And the day is yet young. Look at James. Hot like, to trot, stud, muffin, love, gone smart.
Not having any of our crap, Kathy.
Yeah. We could convert.
So, Kathy, today we're going to talk about all sorts of bizarro topics on the podcast. It's like the Glamour Features meeting, and I think that you'd probably be the best brain we could ever get into a Glamour Features.
I feel you'd be a very natural fit, Kat.
I think so too. Deranged, hedonistic.
No, it's Glamour family.
I did shave my armpits before I came in, so that's pretty glamorous.
You are a doll.
Thank you. And I plucked my chin there, so I'm a mother plucker,
I
can say.
I mean, I actually might cry. That's
big news.
The purest sign of love anyone's ever shown.
I don't think any podcast guest has ever gone so far in the name of Hey It's Okay.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about whether or not it's okay to idolise fictitious characters, and we're going to talk about our sex lives and how vanilla are they on the scale
of
vanilla to zero, and is it alright to be scared of getting older? But first I want to talk about you. I don't know, how many books have you done, Kathy?
Well, I only write because it's cheaper than therapy. I started quite young.
This is why I started the podcast.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be permanent residents of Couch Canyon, making some shrink laugh and paying them.
It's so expensive. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, it's the only profession where the customer's always wrong. So I started writing when I was 17. I've written 14 novels, a couple of non-fiction, a few plays.
I feel like such a big fat failure right now. You wrote your first book at 17.
I know. And it was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, it was a revenge on all those surfy boys I grew up with.
Puberty Blues, we're talking about. If you haven't read it and you're British, you might not really get it. But when I was
the stick sisters out there would get it.
Totally get it.
It was like the sort of like the first feminist life manual for teenagers when I was growing up. But your new book, Best Laid Plans, it's awful to say. It feels wrong to say it's funny because it's actually about a really emotional, heartfelt thing. It's obviously, it touches on a woman who is raising an autistic son, which you have more than first-hand experience of.
Yes.
And it's about the night that the character decides to in desperation, help him with his completely heartbroken attempts at having a love life. Mm-hmm. So she decides to take him curb crawling.
To pick up a prostitute.
Yeah.
And hilarious results ensue, funnily enough. So do you want, what was it directly inspired by your son?
It was directly inspired by my son, because whenever you hear about someone with special needs, we see them on TV in a show or whatever, they're always either inspirational or to be pitied. Nobody ever thinks about them having normal urges.
Yeah.
And the trouble with someone who's on the autistic spectrum is that they're incredibly eccentric. They have a literal, lateral, tangential logic, which is incredibly original. But to girls their own age, they seem too weird. They seem too exotic. You know, Jules might as well have been a sherbet-winged flamingo flying down the high street. So what it means is they end up...
I would definitely have dated that.
I know, you would have. And so would you.
Yeah, hello.
But, you know, they get very lonely. You know, he was exiled into social Siberia for his entire teenage years and also had a lot of bullying. You know, he once came home with a sign sticky taped to his back saying, kick me, I'm a retard, you know, and said to me, Mum, the kids are calling me a retard. What is a retard? And I'm like, tardy. It means late, tardy, you know, what could I say?
It's so awful. And it's like kids are so, it's almost primal. It's like, you're different, you're other, and then completely zero in. It's really,
it's Lord of the Flies.
You can survive being a teenager.
You can survive
anything.
But it's
so weird, you spend all those years desperately trying not to fit into a, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to really stand
individual.
Out.
I know,
it's so
it's
crazy.
Nuts.
So, yeah, and everything you say now, and I find myself sounding almost a bit patronized going, oh. But what I meant was, it's like, oh my God, what I want to say is, oh my God, of course it's going to be so much better and so much greater, you know, and you're so, and in a way your take on it is really like, gut-wrenchingly amazing. I just feel like...
Well, I try and celebrate, you know, people's idiosyncrasies and eccentricities, because how boring it would be if we were all the same.
Absolutely.
In case of the bland leading the bland.
But I also think you're part of a movement in not being afraid to discuss these things, which paves the way for other people to, you know, so now my daughter's growing up in a world where she understands transgender issues. She understands things like autism.
Special
and,
needs.
And, you know, a friend of hers has a Down syndrome brother who goes to a regular school, and I think that they're just a little bit, everybody's a little bit more
relaxed.
What's the word? And elastic about, you know.
But talking about it relaxes people.
But of course,
it makes people suddenly not go, okay, it's a scary thing to not talk about, and you're so doing it the right way.
But nobody, this is still a taboo subject. I couldn't, when I wanted to write a book about someone with special needs trying to find a relationship, I couldn't find any other book. Any other literature that was talking about that issue.
So you thought
ka-ching. I did not think ka-ching. I thought shine a light.
Yeah.
Shine a light.
Oh,
guys.
You cynic, Joelle. Thank you.
Although I have sold the TV rights for an 8-hour TV series. So, and I'm sitting.
Do I know Kathy?
Yeah, it's the new Big Little Lies.
I've asked Nicole Kidman to play their mother, actually.
Wow.
I know. Well, I did notice. Have we said the title of the book? It's called Best Laid Plans. I did notice you've got a shining, glowing review from Nick on the front. I would have done it, but if you're happy with Nicole,
I was very happy with
you. She went slumming it. She had Nicole Kidman into that band.
But, you know, getting back to this issue about people with special needs and sexuality, I mean, my own son's self-esteem got so low. It was kind of lower than Kim Kardashian's bikini line, which is quite low. And I thought, well, what can I do? And I thought if I hire him a prostitute, at least it will kind of ease his curiosity and make him feel a little bit more kind of normal.
Connected.
Mm-hmm. So I did. I asked all my friends if they'd take him to a brothel. The answer came there, no. So I did find myself driving through the red light district one night thinking I would pick up a prostitute. This is not my natural habitat. My natural habitat is the local library.
I must admit, I had no idea just how close to reality
this
book was.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then I, when the women were coming towards the car, I thought, what is the vernacular? What do I say? You know, I didn't even have any vocabulary to deal with the situation. So I sort of spooked and went home. But a couple of weeks later, I read about a father, an autistic son, a boy, who was arrested for curb crawling, picking up a prostitute. And I thought, oh, my God, that could have been me. And, you know, prison, the only wound I've ever received is a paper cut. It's not. I would not be at home in prison. And I don't want to have a strip search unless I have dinner and a date first. That's understood. Totally understood.
That's the etiquette.
You were raised right, Kathy.
Yes.
But I thought that's a really good opening for a novel. A middle class, middle aged mum picked up for curb crawling. And I could build all the comedic chaos around it. And also, I think the reason a lot of women are relating to it, not just mums of kids with special needs, is that when you're not there yet, but when your kids start dating, See, my generation had to leave home to have sex, but now we let our kids have sex at home over 16.
Oh, no, we've already got an agreement. She's going to wait till I'm dead.
She's grounded till she hits menopause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's reasonable enough.
But it does make for some very awkward moments over the muesli in the morning, because you never know who's going to appear from your kid's bedroom.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's a whole psychological minefield. But when you have a kid with special needs, you never know who they're going to bring home, animal, vegetable, mineral.
Yeah.
So you turn up the angstometer by about 100. So there's a lot of comedy in it, but also a lot of pathos and poignancy. And I think that's this perfect balance for a book I like. So, wit, pith, and poignancy.
And somebody with autism, though, bring somebody home, they don't have the same filters. So completely free and easy about whatever the hell they bring out the bedroom. I can imagine. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've gone from, 16-year-olds to 86-year-olds practically. So,
that's awesome.
So I tried to capture a lot of that craziness in the novel.
Would you say that this is your most personal novel?
I think it is, yes.
And was it therefore easier or harder to write?
It was easier.
Really? 'Cause,
yeah, I mean, most writers, if they want to research a book, they have to go up, down the Amazon or up the Himalayas. I would just knock on Julius's door and say, Dan, what would you say right now? But I'll tell you something. A lot of my women friends, when their boys hit puberty, they get a three-grunt vocabulary, not dunno, and they become emotional bonsai, and you have to put the fertilizer on to get any feelings out of them. And my son's the opposite. This lack of filter, Joe was saying, he tells me everything. Sometimes it's way too much.
Yeah.
It's like paging Dr. Freud to reception, but it's also fascinating to have that close relationship with your son. So I try and put the positive spin on it all the time.
And he's utterly charming, having met him. And he's also a big TV star.
That's right.
I mean, it could have been worse, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, when he wanted to be an actor, he's in Holby City, for anyone who doesn't know. He's been in for a year and a half. And it's the first time they've cast an autistic actor to play an autistic character. Because normally they get Dustin Hoffman to pretend to be the Rain Man or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really brave of the BBC to do that. But it's been a huge success. He's really good.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, how can you put the artistic into autistic? But, of course, autistic people are acting every day. They're acting trying to be normal.
Right.
Yeah.
And, the most on Google, the most Googled thing about sons, when it says my son is or is my son, it comes up autistic. So there's a lot of autism out there,
really?
And a lot of mothers are worried about if their sons are on the spectrum. And it's called an extreme form of maleness. It's incredibly prevalent.
But I think it's also something that's really happened in my lifetime, certainly. Now, I now look back at certainly people I was at school with, and, they were just kind of dismissed or whatever. They were terrible. They were just
misunderstood.
But now looking back, but it was around that time, there was no word for it. There was no conversation about it. There was no understanding of it. So I really do think it's actually really come of age, really, in the last, I'd say, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, well, now know with diagnostic hindsight that Mozart and Einstein and Orwell and Van Gogh and Steve Jobs and probably Bill Gates and all those computer geeks and scientists and mathematicians and brilliant musicians were and are on the spectrum. So.
And then you've got horrible people who want to sort of, like, genetically eliminate any kind of, what we call disorders or
eugenics. It's like bringing back eugenics. So, I mean, how dull life would be without them.
Totally.
Because, I mean, I can just tell you one funny story about what it's like living with someone with autism. Because they have no filter and they say whatever they're thinking, it means socially I sweat more than, Donald Trump doing a Sudoku, because I never know.
Thanks for that.
But I never know what he's going to say. And just one example of what my life's like. When he was about 13, Jules, I took him to Downing Street. And I introduced him to the Prime Minister. I said, it was a charity event. I said, Jules, this is the Prime Minister, Tony Blair. And Jules just looked at him and said, oh, yes, you're the one my mother calls Tony blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, for once I couldn't think of anything to say.
And I bet Tony Blair just smiled nervously.
He did smile nervously. And then I took him to another event and introduced him to Anne Widdecombe. I said, Jules, this is Anne Widdecombe. He said, oh, yes. You're the one my mother says is two-faced. But if so, why are you wearing that one when it's all wrinkly and crinkly and old?
Oh, my God!
Once again, I'm like, who is this child and why is he calling me mother,
He's a fine judge of character, as far as I'm concerned.
Same, yeah, same, but just like his mum.
Let's get him on the podcast.
Kathy Lowe, in the pod cupboard,
yes.
Whatever we decide is okay or not is all down to you as
no pressure, Kathy.
Celebrity guest. So first up, I'm going to ask, is it okay to have a fictitious character as a role model?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
as an author.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah,
yes.
Totally.
Sometimes
who's yours?
Mine is Becky Sharp, Vanity Fair.
Oh,
she was the Madonna of her day.
Yeah.
Chutzpah, cheek, you know, tongue in cheek, I would say. She had a black belt in tongue fu. She could fire off one-liners. She gave men quiplash. Also, she came from nothing, and she was like the Edmund Hillary of social climbing. She got right to the top of the social scale. And a lot of people are judgmental and cruel about her and say, oh, she was just, you know, a social climber, a terrible mother, etc. But if you think about when the book was written, 1810,
yeah.
Women had nothing. Yeah. I mean, there was no contraception. There was no chance of employment. You were either a governess or a maid, or you were married or a prostitute. Marriage and prostitution was often a tautology in those days.
Yeah.
So she just survived in the best way she could, which was by her wits. So I just think she's remarkable. And whenever I'm feeling downtrodden by anybody, I kind of channel her. And
she's
what would Becky Sharp do? Also,
remember, imagine reading that book in the 1850s.
Yeah.
It would have been mind-blowing for young women.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
To think you could behave badly
and
get away with it. And if you just think about it, sexism's still innate in the language. You know, a man who's sexually active is a love goddess, stud muffin, Lothario. A woman with the same sexual appetites as a man is still a slut, a tramp, a mole. It's how men, you know, they always expect you to be so virginal, like when the guy says to you, oh, darling, darling, am I the first man to make love to you? To which the woman replies, of course. I don't know why you men keep asking the same silly questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much has really changed since Becky Sharp days? So.
But it is amazing. Jane Austen, because the funny thing, when you ask that question, I literally went to, it says a lot about me, I went for a fictitious female character.
I love you.
But, you know, I literally would go for Elizabeth Bennet. Like,
oh,
you know, heaven. But Jane Austen just wrote the best characters, didn't she? And there's a reason why they're still being remade and remade.
Yeah,
I
would love to meet her.
Yeah.
I just think,
me too.
What was going on in her world?
Yeah.
She must have
had that foresight,
ass, quite literally.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, and she was actually a very barbed commentator on the sex war, because at the time wedlock was little more than a padlock. You got married to a man, and everything you owned became his. You had no rights at all.
And you were just dirt if you didn't manage that.
Yeah. And also, you were just a life support system to an ovary. It was all about breeding. And what I love about Jane Austen and about Lizzie Bennet is that she refused to get married except for love. And you think of her...
That's me.
You think of her very bland doppelganger, Bridget Jones, who would just, once the snooze alarm went off on her biological clock, she no longer looked for Mr. Right, but Mr. Kind of Okay, Mr. Vaguely Bearable, Mr. Two Corpses Short of a Serial Killer to get married.
Yeah.
You know, that this character that Jane Austen created centuries ago is much more radical, feminist role model than Bridget Jones. So she's an incredible...
It's a very good point. I mean, I feel so kind of basic and uneducated now when I say my fictitious character, who I just adore, and I got to meet the woman who plays her recently, is Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. And what I love about that character is it started out, I think they tried to make her like a David Brent, Ricky Gervais type thing, and then they realised that wasn't the sweet spot with her, and she evolved. So she was still... you know, a little bit sort of like apple pie-eyed and a bit overly optimistic. And I think that because I'm not an over-optimistic person, and I just love that she mines the positivity out of anything.
Sure.
And my daughter adores her as much as I do. Mm. So when I was sitting next to Amy Poehler at the Glamour Awards and I sent my daughter a picture of me with Amy Poehler, she texts me back going, I'm crying.
We finally impressed Evie.
Yeah.
Finally. I know.
I'm not ashamed to say it. Occasionally, if I'm having a bad day, I think, no, come on, what would Leslie Knope do?
Yeah.
And I know she's not real, but she kind of is real. I mean, Amy wrote her. You know, Amy plucked her from somewhere.
Exactly. And there's a bit of her in there, isn't
I it? Love that character too, because she doesn't think optimism is an eye disease.
Yeah.
And living in Britain where people have an Eeyore streak and it's all misery and gloom and doom a lot of the time, it's like penicillin.
Yes, I just love her inner strength.
Yeah.
And I need to channel a little bit more sometimes.
It's important.
Yeah.
We need to find, everyone should find their spirit, fictitious animal, and channel them every
That's
day.
That's right. And
so,
we're going to give Joe an eorectomy.
We're fully behind this. It's definitely okay then.
I already had a lumpectomy a couple of weeks ago. I feel safe from extracting anything else in a pot.
We believe in sharing.
But we're gonna
sharing is caring.
Darling, we're stripping off our emotional underwear, so we're going to see, it's going to reveal all anyway.
And we are going to talk about sex now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
Look at that
sex.
Segue.
Let's talk about sex.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm honestly to God actually scared to ask Kathy Lett this. This is it okay conundrum. Is it okay, Kathy Lett, to want a vanilla sex life?
Oh, we're going very PG.
Very PG. Well, yes, as long as you have had some wild times in the past, which definitely I've got quite a few notches on my leather G-string. But I think what happens after you have babies is you get resentful and exhausted. Because my generation thought we were going to have it all, and we've just ended up doing it all.
Oh, totally.
You know, I think women are still doing
about, I hear your sister.
We're doing about 99.9% of all the housework and all the childcare. And I used to have this argument with my own husband all the time, saying, you've got to help me more around the house. He'd be like, well, I'd like to help, but I'm a man and I can't multitask.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Ultimate biological cop-out, because no man would have any trouble multitasking at an orgy or a menage a trois. It would be tweaking and spinning and thrusting.
Very
and,
true.
That's
you
a
know.
Very good point. What do you think, James? How would you do it in an orgy?
Well, it might shock you. I've never actually caught myself in an orgy. But vanilla sex, I mean, I always joke I'm very vanilla because I think, you know, with the advent of things like Sex in the City, I think it did change the landscape. And even things like Queer as Folk, and it suddenly became, I think, very uncool to say,
well,
I just quite like a bit of romance under 20 minutes. I mean, this is why, sorry, Joe, you're going to hate this.
Position.
I love Love Island because one of the things they said was, one of the girls talked about going for 20 minutes, and all the girls were horrified. They were like, oh my God, that's way too long. Because in your head, you think you're supposed to be having, like, you know, hours of, like, tantric orgasm, you know?
I think it's interesting that we're in an age where we even can pose this as a problem, feeling any kind of guilt or shame about wanting a nice 15 minutes of missionary.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and I know we're like playing it for lols, but I have a young daughter, and I'm genuinely terrified of her coming into contact with the new porn obsessed generation of teenagers, and I do feel like there's this bizarre expectation on young women
to perform,
to want to have it in every hole, and, you know. And I just think that
I don't like it. And that's why actually I think this conversation, in all seriousness, is actually very good because I think people do need to hear that. Yeah, we don't all do that. Most of us don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Most of us are just A, too lazy, and B, maybe too old fashioned and romantic.
And it's really not uncool to not want to do freaky, kinky, you know.
And also the trouble with Love Island, the trouble with Love Island and porn and the rest of it is the women aren't just faking orgasms, they're faking a relationship.
Well, now, James hit on, I haven't watched Love Island, but the vibe I'm getting from most people who do is that it's actually inadvertently teaching a lot of feminist lessons to young women who are like not prepared to put up
with
this shit.
I have to say, it's weirdly quite sweet because
what
I mean, you can tell, Kathy, I'm well versed in my defending Love Island watching, right? But the two reasons I like Love Island and why I feel it has a little bit of integrity as opposed to something like Big Brother is there's no booze, so they're literally limited. They're given, like, I think, a drink or two a night, so no one is doing anything under the influence you feel dirty or slightly uncomfortable watching them do. They're all doing it in sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And B, there's none of that nonsense about earning food budget, cooking food, rationing. They're basically being fed by a chef. So when you take those two things
into
account...
Except the girls don't eat. They live in one cup of skimmed air a week.
We ran a story with a former contestant who said they all put on a ton of weight.
Oh, yeah.
what I love
sperm
about
sperm is fattening.
Yeah. 10 calories.
There's a lot of... Yeah, no, I think it's more than that.
Oh, is it?
I know. And can you imagine if you were thinking creme brulee and sperm? That's a hard choice.
Sperm brulee. But basically, what I'm saying is... Where have we gone with this?
That's half-baked.
what I'm saying is... So what you're essentially watching with Love Island is actually kind of quite sweet, genuine romance in the sense that they're just in there to get off with each other in a sober state of mind.
That's why I'm in this pod cover today. Yeah. Well, Kathy knows that she's been resisting for a long time.
I have.
To de-vanilla everything.
The
right
door is locked.
Now.
There's no way out for you, Lex.
I would say, you know, about getting back to the fact that women who are mums not wanting to have sex because they're so exhausted. What amazes me is that, you know, the men in their lives think that they want sex because the woman comes home, she's worked all day, she puts the dinner on, she finds the lost homework, she, you know, defrosts the chops for tomorrow, puts the washing on, does the ironing, helps with homework.
It's a mental load.
And by the time she gets into bed, the one thing she's fantasizing about is sleep, and then she gets the hand on the tip. And you're like, oh, no, not the hand. I think your men make horror movies called The Blob and The Thing. Women would make the hand.
The grab.
And you think, here's this guy.
Thing poking in my back.
Well, I have got a fantastic sex tip for anyone who wants to get out of sex with their husband. Just when you feel the prod of his member in your back, tell him the tax department rang and want to audit his account. Because not only does he lose the urge for sex, but he won't be able to sleep, so no snoring either. Results! Yes! Oh, yes!
I mean, it's just like, who needs marriage counseling?
Exactly. Yeah, you put it right here. But yeah, I mean...
But getting back to the porn thing too, what really worries me about that too is the way the women have told they have to look. You know, waxing everything
totally,
off their
bodies. Oh, yeah.
Even men in porn.
Why are men buying into that insanity? Yeah. We are mammals. Hello.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I like my pubic hair. It's like I have a little pet in my pants.
Neither of us know what to say to it, too. Kathy, I'll be your friend. You need to
Am I the only woman in the building with a ward of national park
it's
status.
It's definitely the new generational divide. Yes. I don't think she works here anymore, but we did have a young woman here years ago who said, basically, I think if you've got pubic hair, you're either a hippie or over 25. That was her assessment. Hilarious.
Well, I think bring back Bush. That's my new catchphrase.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it weird. It's all a bit frozen chicken.
Isn't it? They're all a bit frozen chicken,
it's like,
exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
Why do you think people feel guilt about not swinging from the chandelier every night of the week? What is that? What even is that?
The thing is, right, is it just me? I do have those friends who, whenever you talk to them...
I do have.
Oh, my God, I wish. I'm Netflix, no chill. I'm literally at home with just Netflix, no chill. So, anybody out there, come join me. But anyway, no, but basically, we've all got those friends, I think, that... When you genuinely talk to them, they always say, oh, yes, it was the biggest penis I've ever seen. It was the best sex I've ever had. And they do make you just go, God, I'm just failing at sex. I'm failing at life and I'm failing at my sex life. But I don't think they're lying. I genuinely don't think they are. But, you know, I just can't get my head around, you know, is it just a lottery? Or do you think their standards are lower? I don't know.
I think it's another symptom of... you know, as you say, oh, we think we can have it all, but we're doing it all. And there's when at the advent of something like Cosmopolitan magazine back in the 60s, when it was like, wow, women are allowed to have sex. And it kind of went so far the other way that there's something wrong with you if you're not completely horny 100% of the time. And there's just got to be a balance, people.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, isn't it? Because I do think it's all about your social groups, isn't it? And I think, you know, the joke is, I mean, we're having this very honest conversation, but in my social group, I'm probably deemed to be the prude. And I think if you put me in most people's conversations, I'd be like the furthest thing from a prude. I think we'd all be the same, you know?
Yeah.
But it's funny how there are certain conversations in life where I'm deemed a prude, you're probably deemed a prude. You know, there are.
I doubt that.
Well, actually, I'm pushing it though, Kathy.
Yeah.
Well, but I've got to tell you an interesting phenomenon. I mean, you're too young, but when you hit 50, a fabulous thing happens to you where you're obviously taking your HRT and you get this huge hormonal surge. And the horniest people I know are women in their 50s, post divorce. You're taking HRT, they've got these voracious appetites. And I thought, my son, who's, you know, has autism and is priapic and never gets a girlfriend, I thought, those boys are very horny, those women are very horny, why can't we put them together? So I want to put together an app called Or Tinder, or Tinderism, or this one, like Square Pegs for Round Holes.
Don't tell this to the nation.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Oh, I don't care who invents it. Yeah. Write to Mark Zuckerberg tomorrow.
Yeah.
We just got to match the horny ones up. Women in their sexual prime in their 50s and priapic teenagers.
When that happens to me, though, I don't want to match with your son. Just be a little bit weird for both of us.
Mark just went very
awkward. No offense.
Oh, I'd love it. We could have lovely chats over the muesli in the mornings. I'm angling for that one now.
If you're enjoying Hey It's Okay, you might be very, very interested and delighted to know that, oh my God, Glamour Hey It's Okay is playing with the grown-ups at the festival, the podcast festival, September 16th, that's a Saturday. You can come and see James, Pod Cupboard Stud and I in action in front of a live audience.
We're pulling back the curtain. It's going to be terrifying. We're going to see how...
We are going to force a celebrity. We're going to take a duffel bag and a baseball bat, and we're going to get somebody there. We don't know who yet.
Yes.
But it's going to be amazing fun. Yes. Please do come and see us. Otherwise, it would be really embarrassing.
I'm coming.
Buy a ticket. Come see us. Or it's going to be like the worst party
now,
ever.
James has got the worst writing in the world. So what is the...
So the website, we're appearing on September 16th. There's an incredible lineup, which of course we are part of. Here it's okay. But if you go check out the podcast festival, Google it, but if you go to kingsplace.co.uk for tickets, yes, please buy one and come see us, because otherwise it's going to be awkward.
And we will see you there.
Absolutely.
Right. So. Kathy Lett.
Here we are.
Is it okay? Hey, is it okay to be scared of getting older?
Well, women suffer from facial prejudice. We get judged on our looks in a way that men don't. You know, for women, wordplay is foreplay. Hell, is Woody Allen still getting laid? Let's face it.
How is that picked up?
Well, hello.
Stop making sexual references to people like Woody Allen and Donald Trump.
So I do understand why women are terrified of getting older. I think aging to women is like kryptonite to Superman. You show me a woman who's happy with her age and I'll show you the electroconvulsive therapy scorch marks. But I think we have to resist the terror of aging, because have you been to Los Angeles?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay? There is no law of gravity in Los Angeles.
I'm thinking about going there. I'm thinking about just getting all the skin from the bottom of my toes, just dragging it up and having a big sort of like sausage-style knot at the top of my head.
Well, you know, because that's quite true. All they do is drag everything up. So the ankle becomes the knee becomes the navel, the clitoris becomes the chin.
Yeah, and
that's how you spot a recipient of cosmetic surgery. Look for a woman who's rubbing her chin a little bit too vigorously, which I'm doing
actually,
right now.
That's glued under my chin, but that's when I fell over that time when I tripped over my own trousers.
They moved your clit to your chin. It's actually quite handy. If God was a woman.
not to insult any of our lovely American readers who might listeners who might live in LA, but, you know, in all honesty, Joe and I go quite often for meetings in LA. And what you're right, it's what's quite frightening is the people become surgery blind.
Yeah, they do.
And there are people walking around, and I never gawp at anyone, because, you know, the reason you live in London, it's anonymity, you don't judge anyone, you don't stare at anyone, everyone could be what the hell they want. But I, as a Londoner, go to LA and I suddenly catch sight of somebody and I'm like, but no one else sees it. It's perfectly normal. Yeah. And it's this... It's grotesque, like, overt case
that's
of surgery.
I'm not going to do that, because I think people don't look like they haven't aged. They just look like they've had a ton of surgery.
Stuff done,
But I'm not, do you know what, maybe I'm naive and I'm not really frightened of looking older. I'm frightened of losing strength and social mobility. Mm. And this is why one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons I go to the gym a lot is I read a fact in Glamour magazine years ago that
Very trusted source.
It was from a doctor who said the thing that keeps a huge percentage of women isolated in their old age is a
mobility.
Lack of
upper body strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can't get your Sainsbury's bags from the car to the, you know, so I do a lot of
I do a lot of punching critics. Yeah. That's very, very aerobic, you know.
Your arms must be tired.
I do think so as well. I mean,
I didn't mean about you.
The simple truth is that, you know, we are healthier than our parents. So, you know, I mean, I always take the piss at my parents, but my parents generally do not drink water. They're mystified by how much water I drink.
Wait, like, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, but literally, my parents, I have to force them to drink water, you know? I have to force them to eat green vegetables. But these are things that are kind of natural, that we just take on board, we know to do. So I do think unconsciously, you're doing little things that are making you look better, making you healthier, making
you
live longer.
Well, you know what we learned, don't you? We moved away from Australia where there's no ozone.
That's right. You could play join the dots with my sunspots. What I would say is you should have worn sunblock, you idiot. But getting back to the aging thing, I am at the age where a lot of my friends are being traded in for younger models by their husbands, and they are doing the most insane things to stay young. They're torturing themselves. Like, I don't see them for a few weeks, and I see these breasts arriving down the high street. They've got their own postcode, you know, and then they've got the lips like that, you know, where it looks like you've got a vagina sutured to your face, that look.
I honestly can't swear that I won't do something like go and get a big pair of boobs just to see what that's like.
No.
I might be bored. Honestly, do you ever not do things like, I don't know, go and get your eyebrows dyed or do something like that to think, I wonder what that's like. I can honestly see me being bored and...
Never say never.
No, I won't let you. I will kidnap you and take you away. Because also, why do you want to... All the women having Botox, for example, why do you want to erase your personality? I mean, there it is on your face. Why can't men just learn to read between our lines?
But men are doing it too, to be fair. I would argue there's plenty of men. I mean, I see a lot of bad Botox in a man is...
I read all the statistics the other day. There are 28,000 operations on women every year in cosmetic surgery in Britain and only 2,000 men. So it is something that really affects women. And then you think about it, why would you want a man who only wants you? Because you're silicon from tits to toe now.
Agreed.
You wouldn't want a man
but then
like
you
that.
Go back.
And what the hell are they looking like?
Well, exactly.
It ties back into the whole porn thing because they're watching porn everyone's got grapefruit tits and, you know, no pubic hair. And,
no wrinkles.
So it's all feeding into the same fantasy.
But another problem is that 50, on British television, 85% of people on television over 50 are men. We never see normal-looking women.
Yeah.
That's why it's abnormal. 90% of movies that come out of Hollywood star a male protagonist. And any woman who's over 30 is cast as the grandmother.
Well, that's so, like that amazing Amy Schumer sketch, The
amazing.
Last Fucking Day.
Yeah.
Like,
love that.
If you're in your 40s.
And that's what was amazing about Big Little Lies, is the fact that you predominantly all that cast was female and over 40.
Yeah,
you know, that's a rarity in Hollywood, and then there's clearly an appetite for it.
Well, that's the first step, because they don't look like most women over 40.
No, they don't. That's right.
But, you know, I think I can't lie. I hate the idea of getting old. I've said it on this podcast, my favourite age to freeze up would be 31. I'm not too young, the Goldilocks of age.
But this is why, I mean, I certainly don't think I look like a 25-year-old or anything like that.
Gorgeous.
But bless you, but I'll pay you later. But it's... You know, on my 47th birthday, I think I might have said this. Sorry if you've heard this before on the podcast, but you know, it's like on my 47th birthday, somebody put on my wall, "Well, it's really brave of you to admit your age." And I just thought, well, I think more people need to make everybody else kind of relax about it.
And own their vanilla sex lives.
Yeah,
we're doing it for the people.
We are. Also, you can only start lying about your age if you're really good at math.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really bad at math because women are bad at math because we're always told that, you know, 7 inches is 10 inches. It all goes wrong from then on.
But could add 10 years to our age. I mean,
yes, and look fantastically young.
Amazing.
And let's just remember that aging is much better than the alternative.
Yeah.
That's the thing to remember.
True.
You know?
Yeah, we're lucky
to
get
so old.
Well,
that's the thing. I just think we get really obsessed, you know, and I think I know people who haven't made it to as far as
I think I've said this before in the podcast. And I always said, somebody once said to me, like, remember, James, you will never be as hot as you are today.
Right now, exactly.
10 years from now, you've been looking back at a picture of you right now going, why wasn't I getting more? It's like, you know.
I think the best aging tip I can give anyone is the dimmer switch. Best beauty aid known to womankind. Keep your lights low.
Oh, my God.
And just get much older, uglier friends.
And never look down into the surface of an iPad.
Ever.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, just go forth blindly.
Yeah, that's right.
And beautifully.
Well, I put my makeup on in a darkened room. So
you
when
do
I,
not.
I do, I don't, I do. No, I just put it on in a dark, sort of in the dark sort of bathroom, because then I leave the house thinking I look really good, and so then you feel confident, and then you do look good, kind of thing.
You are as hot AF as the kids say.
Sizzling, sizzling.
Thank you so much for being here today, everybody. Oh. You've got to read Best Laid Plans. It's out now. It's funny and it's really emotional and...
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. It's just the perfect blend of funny and feeling.
Oh, yes. That's the nicest... Absolutely. I'm putting that on the cover.
Oh.
You can go there with
Nicole. Picking up Nicole.
Get rid of that Nicole. Whoever she is. You know, now you've got a proper Aussie.
Chicks stick together.
Thank you, Kathy Lett.
My pleasure. Thanks, and I have got a girls' tour, don't forget. Girls' Night Out.
Oh, tell us about that.
Oh, yes.
I'm taking to the stage. I'm going around all the regions of Britain, doing a kind of girl-empowering evening of fun and frivolity and feminism and all
and
that.
And where can we find tickets? Have you got a website?
Website, www.kathylett.com, obviously. So, yes come and join me. I don't know. You can attend at your own risque, but you will be ovulating by the end of the evening, okay, as long as you know that.
If it's half as fun as this podcast has been, they're going for a treat. So, yes.
Well, let's just go off and have that whipped cream orgy now. Well, no more vanilla sex for us.
No,
come on.
More than okay with me.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.